this is my feeling. I feel that Floyd was made
to do what?
Saying he was a hometown boy to see if he could do something. And I heard the leader of the Democratic Party saying that they made Enrose. What Enrose they made?
It depends on what you measure it against. If you measure it against their performance in the 2018 general election, they got a greater percentage this time. If you go back to 2008, the performance was less, but then the voter turnout was less as well. There was an increase. Let me just look back quickly at some of the figures here. There was an increase in GF1, for example. There was a decrease, as a matter of fact, in all the boxes. Yep. The closest I think was perhaps GG2 and GF1. GF2. But even those were less than 2008. So it depends on what you measure. What was the overall turnout? The effects of running in a by-election as opposed to a general election, you have to take that into consideration as well. Which is why I, because I am not trained in the science, look at the numbers, and then I ask the questions to people like Peter and the other political scientists who do the science, and hope that they could explain it to me in a way that I understand. But when you look at raw numbers, you say there was a decrease here, there was a decrease there, and you don't take the other factors into consideration. So I do not know what the leader of the opposition was looking at, the leader of the Democratic Labour Party, was looking at when she made that determination. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
If what our previous caller says is true, we are doomed. We are doomed.
Good afternoon, sir.
If what you say is true, we are damned. If it's people looking up for the sign for only you. Running on a campaign that says I'm more popular than you because I look better than you and I can speak prettier than you and everything else, and it's all about image and not what I do, is what I say, but how I perform, we are in duck's guts.
You heard what I say after, though, right?
Sorry?
You heard what I say after? There's a group of people who would prefer that you go there, fix the thing so that they could do what they want to do without waiting on a handout.
They are productive people. They are people who produce items that people have to buy. They ain't got no choice. They produce items that people look at them and say, Diane, look what it's supposed to look like. Diane's song, right? There are people who get involved with being assessed because of a tangible that they put out there, and they got to go through the Caribbean and do what it is they got to do because at the end of the day,
who don't like their work being criticized too, right?
But
who's sensitive about it?
No, but if a baseman go up there and pull a bad cord,
Nicholas would hold his head and ball.
You get round there. Listen, you can't pick. People look at you and say, I only make a bad note. What's wrong with you? You know what I mean? It depends on who it is and what it's doing. All right?
I hear you, brother.
This is one bad note, but if you listen to the whole performance and say, oh my God, the performance looked bad because the song went out, the song mad. And you can hear the man playing. And then you look at the man and tell you can't play the guitar. You can get vexed. But that's another thing. That's another thing.
Yeah, look, I was trying to pull you down a little bit. Go ahead.
No. Pull all you want. Pull all you want. Everything that you guys have spoken about just now, it's obviously on target. You've seen it enough times to recognize that there's so much truth in it. It can no longer be denied. The thing is, are people really prepared to recognize it? And a lot of people don't vote no more. I just can't. And then here we thought last year that they're going to make it illegal for you not to vote. You're going to be forced to vote. You're going to be forced to take part in a campaign that you know is not delivering nowhere near what it promises. You're going to force you. I think there's some countries in the world where you're forced to vote. I cannot call the names, but I'm pretty sure there are one or two countries that do that. The process needs to be fixed. It's pretty clear. It is all but talking about attracting young people to an institution. It's not a legal institution. It's not legally, registered anywhere other than being a political party. Young people, how is that going to make a difference? How is that really going to make a difference? If you bring young faces or young wines and put it into old skins, eventually, the wine itself, I believe, well, then again, wine is get better when they get
with
older.
Age.
That's a bad thing. That's a bad example to have used. But I'm saying that young faces are not going to make... You know, you were saying, it doesn't matter what you do, it's still Caribbean politics, and this is how we do things about here. It don't matter what you do, you know, you've got to bring a charismatic leader up front. Did you hear me say,
it don't matter what you do? I said, that's what working. Boss man, if it's working, then you fix it.
I would like at least, now is the chance, I would like at least to see a major political party take on some serious infrastructural issues. About design of the process, about design of the party itself, about the true agenda of the party moving forward, as opposed to just bare talk, and make sure that those younger people identify with it and move forward. Now is the time. I don't have much to live. I know I'm only 36 years old, but you know, some people die younger than others.
Because their blood pressure has killed them. Blood pressure challenges has killed them. Non-communicable diseases. Go ahead, man.
I can tell you one way, I will not die. And that's from the COVID. No, I'm monkey foot. I will die of everything. If I die and people say it's COVID, find out what is it. Kill me here.
Boss, I will read the obituary with a smile.
But
sorry.
Please do so. Two people died of old age yesterday, and they say it's COVID. So I don't want the foolishness there. But listen, that's nice. That ain't different.
You know very well, right, that the complications are usually what drives the COVID-19. It makes it more hospitable to get rid of you. Go ahead. Go ahead. You ever notice that when a man gets shot, they never say the bullet killed him? You ever notice that? They say he died by shock and hemorrhage. They never say the bullet killed him. Go ahead, man.
When somebody is not even in the departure lounge, but on the concourse to enter a plane, and the plane going off.
You expect that they're going. Okay, boss. I just telling you. Shock and hemorrhage is what's killed you, not the bullet. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. You see, it's always the result. But here's the thing, though. There are issues, obviously, with things like, the fixed election date.
Right.
If you had a young person come to the Republic of Barbados and explaining why a fixed election date is relevant for Barbados going forward, I think young people will listen. Because it's a relevant topic, it's a relevant voice, relevant age dynamic. A young person coming to Barbados and saying something like, you know, we are so, so fed up with this contract being given that was over $90,000 being illegally delivered to one or two individuals without going through the proper process. And as a young person in Barbados, I will make sure that the contractual arrangements are properly vetted and made public, and at least we will be sure of an open response to what is going on in the background. Things like that.
Do they care?
No. I'm saying if they were to bring young people to the fore that would say things like that, it would be a relevant move.
By disagreeing with you, by asking you, do they care? Because you have to create that culture. I made the comment to Glenn Clark when he called earlier. I said, Mr. Clark, look, if you need to look at a 16-year-old who will be voting in 2 years' time, see who the leaders are, see what their thinking is, and see if you could use them to influence that change. You can't send a man at my age to tell a 16-year-old nothing when he ain't listening to your father, who is also my age. It has to be. Listen, how old are you when you started making noise in school?
Me?
Tell me the truth, yeah.
No, I was quiet, man.
You were quiet in school?
Yeah,
you only started making noise after you left school?
I only started making noise when I hear open the radio.
Okay. Well, I started making noise. I started making noise at age 13. I'm being told to shut up? You think it's now? It's only now they pay me to talk. I was told to shut up from age 13. So you have to have a desire to change, and you have to have support from those around you who will say to you, look, you're young and you're a theory, but I know what you're trying to do, so go ahead and tear up some things because they need to be torn up, and I can't do it no more.
Let me expand on that a bit more.
I don't find all young people have an interest in politics,
right,
or voting.
No. The thing about the polling, and the thing about elections, and the thing about the appeal that parliamentarians have on the public, on the regular public and stuff, has everything to do with the information that public has to work with. Whether or not the public is an enlightened public, whether the public is an educated, at least in the areas that are relevant or should be relevant to them, or whether or not you're just impressed with what they see or what they hear, how it is delivered, and has everything with the media houses and how they see themselves as being part of the development process, if at all that is even part of their process. I know we used to have a media, You know, I criticize you as well, too, because you are part of a campaign that, to my mind, does not really work with as much effectiveness, you know, as it can. As it can. You know, when you shut down certain types of opinions or when you prop up certain kinds of opinions because, of course, they are status quo, because they are part of a political party's campaign that you know that if you go against it's going to harm you in some way, then, of course, you're not doing or serving the public in the best possible way.
Boss,
you know,
man, you ever speak to my bosses in here? I think you need to sit down and have a conversation with them.
But because you've said it many times to them and they've probably ignored it. And
but I've said it on air already and get pulled up for saying it on air, exactly. Reminding me of who I work for and where. Come on, you've heard it. So
yes.
One thing I don't have on my mouth is a cover. I could shut it, but I don't have a cover on it. I close my mouth. So if I am standing in the midst of a mess, you think I won't say it's a mess? You think if I don't think that we are serving the public well, because we are not training young reporters, young journalists, and young broadcasters to ask hard questions of those in authorities. And by hard questions, I don't mean what people tell them hard. I mean by doing research. So that if somebody, the governor of the central bank, says the unemployment rate is 10%, that the person could say, Governor, if in 2008, with 30,000 people unemployed, the unemployment rate was 25%. How today, with less people in the workforce and these people unemployed, the unemployment rate is 10%, and get him to answer? That's the question you can get an answer to, because you've done the research and you know how to compare. If we don't do that, we can't pick up somebody out of community college, send them on assignment, and tell them, ask the governor what's the unemployment rate, and he said 10%, and they come back with a report that say 10%. It's not their fault. They were not prepared for it.
Can I disagree?
Of course, I disagree, sir.
I love disagreements. Well, no, okay, but well, two things. If you talk about 10% in numbers and stuff, where is that? People are
just
speaking
about
COVID
numbers in general.
Well, okay, people talk about COVID.
Use that as an example.
Let me talk now, Gordon, yeah. Man. My Gordon, man, you love to talk. Here's the thing.
I'm getting paid for it. You getting paid?
Don't put the word edgeways with you, man.
Getting paid
okay.
for it.
Okay,
I will say again.
So I can come
and visit your place of employment.
I got circus, man.
Go ahead.
But I got clowns and everything knocking about the place. Look. I have spoken to reporters in Barbados. I have spoken to reporters in Trinidad. I have spoken to one reporter in Grenada and stuff. And every time you speak to these people, I am awed at their level of appreciation. They got command of the English language of that. I am clear. But they also have an understanding. Many of them do their research, as you say, and they talk to you. I mean, that make me feel as if, boy, look, don't say nothing, man. That's my, there was no use, an idiot. They are intelligent people. Reporters know what they're talking about. The nation got some top-notch people, man. It is never, when I realized, after I spoke to people in Trinidad, for argument's sake, and I saw what was put on TV, I said, wait, they had to apologize. The person had to apologize. They said they had nothing to do with that. It was the editor. And they said, oh my God, you know, it's the same thing in Barbados. You speak to the people up front, but when it gets to the editorial department, that is where all the things come out, and the other things go in, and the flavor of the entire presentation is changed. I don't blame reporters for that. I blame the people who actually make the presentation, that the ones that buy the papers, and the ones that watch TV, the ones that listen to the radio, actually witness. They're the ones who cause the trouble. The ones behind in the background, you don't even know the names of and everything. You know, I have no difficulty with reporters. And if they'll probably say to you, if I gotta go there and write down word for word what these people say, and they can pay me for that, I can do it. But if you ask them for an opinion, they will give you an honest opinion. I beg to differ with you, Dennis, big time. I've never seen a reporter that I found myself to be like, this man like he's an idiot. Never, ever happened.
No, because he's talking to you, not to the governor of the central bank or the prime minister of Barbados, or someone for whom...
But come on, I've spoken to the governors of central banks too, and they don't require no special skill, because they try to present to you in a manner that you understand, and invariably the points that they bring to you are points that are really commonsensical. It's not really things that require in-depth understanding of anything.
You're missing my point, you know.
I'm not missing your point. You're saying that you have to ask difficult questions.
I am saying that you have to have the confidence and the information to be able to counter what's being said. And there are some young reporters who can't do that. Exactly.
Let me give it a look. They don't have the confidence. They have been instructed not to do that. That's the way we differ.
And that's my point. I can't take them instruction. Sir, listen. Okay. Let me give you real time. Said it before, I can say it again. Okay? Went to the Central Bank of Barbados as an invitee to the launch of BERT. journalists were there, senior journalists, media representatives, etc. I was a talk show host sitting at a table. The governor of the central bank said in a lengthy presentation, well prepared, that we were going to have haircuts given to persons holding government paper. He went through it, people asked questions and so on. People had interviews with him and so on. And I raised my hand and said, can I ask a question, sir? Do we have a detailed report of who will be affected, how much they'll be affected by in the various categories of government paper? Central bank governor says, yes, we do. Said, can I have it? See, I don't have it here with me. I will make sure that somebody gets it to you. I looked at Ms. Noveline Brewster and said, can I have it? She said, sure, Dennis, no problem. Soon after, while the people were having their dinner and eating their hors d'oeuvres and their finger food and enjoying themselves, a lady came from upstairs and handed me a thick sheaf of paper with all the breakdown of every single category, every single thing, and all the reporters came with their cameras to take pictures of it because they suddenly wanted to find it. But nobody asked.
No, you got there first.
Nobody asked.
You got there first.
No, I did not. So I told you they'd finish asking questions. They were having hors d'oeuvres. They already had private discussions with the governor.
Yeah, okay. But Dennis,
I did last.
Fair enough.
I did picking up the crumbs.
I was given the benefit of the doubt. I said there were instructions that kind of detail was not supposed to be exposed to the public. I think that there is a bond between the media houses, the ones who develop the media houses, and those who develop policy in government. I have always had difficulty with the fact that the central bank governor is a contractual worker to the Minister of Finance, whereas he should have been a public servant answering to the head of the public service, and then therefore there be separation of powers. Things like that, you must understand, go well beyond the press, because if the media are not going to find a difficulty with that in the first place, you know that they're going there with instructions not to show him up. They can't, because the basis of the entire process is to make a prime minister look good, whether it's this one or the one before, or Oinarte just passed away, or the one that did the last 2 years in office. You have to make them look good. It is part of the private sector, which means the media houses are part of it. The government central bank is part of it. And so everybody who want to get from the calling program and speak against it are going to find themselves in difficulty.
Sir, and why don't I follow that instruction? But why don't I follow that instruction?
Because you're going to retire next year. Huh?
So why you didn't do it in 1994?
Well, I didn't.
Why didn't do it in 1995?
You didn't make head of all four registrations for some reason, huh? You I've seen a man like you go there and bring money in because you had a very popular program that you started from scratch. And now it's one of the most popular programs on VOB, and you still didn't make the head of the four registrations. Why? Because you're mouth too big, or because you're talking against the status quo? You're swimming against the tide. If you want to swim against the tide, well, not exactly that's what you're doing, and you ain't get nothing out of it.
I'm not going to blame
the reporters who are prepared to swim really tight, and they know they're a lot better than they present themselves.
My good friend, I'm being signaled that we have to take a break, but let me say this to you, and then, as Peter say, I can give you the last word. The self-respect, or the respect that I've earned from the public in Barbados for my years sitting in this chair, and the respect I have for myself, right, cannot be paid for. And therefore, that's what I measure my contribution on. Have I earned the respect of the listening public, whether they like me or they don't like me, whether I talk too much or I don't talk enough? Have I earned the respect of the audience from 1994 to now? That is what I will take to my grave. So put it on my tombstone. He did his best. It wasn't good enough. He didn't get paid for it. But I can sleep with a clear conscience, sir.
You want my last word?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, well, my last word, not the yours, is say, you cuss me all you want, you can praise me all you want, but make sure you spell my name right. That's my last word.
If I knew what it was, I'd put it there. But thank you, sir. I will tell you, I will not cuss you. I promise you that.